a duffel, 100,000 in it. Hey, nigga, roll up. Anyway, do say mint with lemonade. Feeling good like I'm dealing, yay, moving to the day. Time limit never, could do this shit forever. Can't even put it in words how I'm in love with her. From slanging work on the curb, hustling drugs with her. The jet ride, 50 million in one. Feeling, see, I'm high as a motherfucker. Don't have me shit, make me lie to you, motherfucker. Man, truth is for real, feel like Dre for real. Mixed with
it. Yo, what's going on, family? Welcome to a brand new episode of the Tariq Elite Radio Show. I am your gracious host, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Tariq Elite Nasheed. Ready to chop up some good game with the family. The phone number is 818-850-5404. That's the number to call in. Call in. Let's chop up some game, ladies and gentlemen, as we do on the Wednesday show. But what we're going to do, family, we're going to take a real quick commercial break, and we'll be right back right here on Tariq Elite Radio. Don't go nowhere.
Hey, what's up? This is Mr. Locario, the bad boy of the dating game. Go to UndeniableGame.com and get my free audio program, Undeniable Game, which teaches you 7 easy-to-follow tips on how to really attract beautiful women. The Undeniable Game audio program is absolutely free to download, so you have nothing to lose and everything to gain. Master the game and get your free copy at UndeniableGame.com. That's UndeniableGame.com.
Did you know that there's over 120 black-owned hotels all across the United States, as well as other black-owned businesses that a lot of people may or may not know about? That's why you need to check out the brand new app called BobSpotter. Now, BobSpotter is the premier mobile app for locating black-owned businesses all around the United States. The BobSpotter mobile app is available for free download in Google Play and in the Apple App Store as well. Also, check out BobSpotter.com. BobSpotter is basically Yelp in black. Again, check out BobSpotter.com. If you think you have a story that you must tell and sell, then let PrizeCraft Editing put your dreams into writing. As self-publishing becomes the new norm for many authors, a lot of aspiring authors are not able to finish, polish, or publish their stories, and that's due to a lot of inexperience. But that's where PrizeCraft comes in. They are not just capable of ghostwriting or editing your work, but they can coach you and critique you on your work as well. To begin your free consultation, contact PrizeCraft at PrizeCraftEditing.com or call them toll-free at 863-417-8752. That's 863-417-8752. Check out this brand new independently black-owned toy company called Apocalypse Toys. Now, these toys are all original, they're all handcrafted, and the Apocalypse Toys is focused on providing black children with heroic black toys. It's very important that our children see themselves in heroic imagery to counteract all the negative images they're exposed to. So please, place your orders right now. Visit ApocalypseToys.com. That's ApocalypseToyz, as in zebra, .com. Yo, you need to stop putting out low-quality music and visit LegendaryMix.com. If you are a rapper, a singer, a producer, or a label owner, then you should already know about LegendaryMix.com. That's the number one online music mixing and mastering service. Take advantage of their low-cost, high-quality mixdowns and professional mastering services and prices while they're still low. Clients rate them as number one for best price. With over 13 years of experience, they will deliver top quality results with great turnaround times. Contact LegendaryMix.com, mention Tariq Radio, and get half off on your mastering for your first mix down. Or call or text 347-565-5892 or email LegendaryMix1@gmail.com. Yo, what's up, fam? It is summertime. You need to have some fresh gear. Check out the Compass Manufacturing Company. They have all types of fly t-shirts, different colors, nice fabric, so you can look real fly for the breezies out there, family. So you need to go check them out right now. Go check out Compass Manufacturing Company at www.compassmfgco.com and also follow them on Twitter and Instagram at CompassMFGCO.com. Grow your business with a website designed to get results. Blackline Web Design has custom online solutions at a very affordable price. Satisfaction is 100% guaranteed. Go to blacklinewebdesign.com or give them a call right now at 470-363-5519. They are creative, they are reliable, and they are black-owned. That is blacklinewebdesign.com.
The most intense new video game app has now arrived. A medieval kingdom has been plagued with chaos and disorder. An evil force has dominated the land. And now it is up to the bravest knights to fight back the demonic forces and bring justice to the kingdom of the Moors. Play the newest, most exciting battlefight game app ever, Moorish Kingdom. Available at moorishkingdom.com.
You are now tuning in to the King of Games, Tariq Elite, on Tariq Elite Radio.
Put some respect on my name.
Oh! We are back, ladies and gentlemen. We are back right here on the Tariq Elite Radio Show. I am, as you know, I am your gracious host. My name is Mr. Tariq Elite Nasheed, also known as King Flex, whatever you want to call me. And I'm back in L.A. I was just in New York for a few days handling some business, traveling all over the place. Oh, where are my Chicago people? Chicago, you know there's going to be a screening tomorrow at the Chatham 14 Theater. That's June 16th. That's Thursday. Hidden Colors 4. There's going to be an encore screening out there. Everybody, if you're in Chicago, if you're surrounding Chicago, go to hiddencolorsfilm.com to get tickets to join all the brothers and sisters out there to screen Hidden Colors 4. You're not going to want to miss that. Now, also, where are my Charleston, South Carolina people? Because I'm going to be in Charleston, South Carolina this Saturday. I think that's the 22nd, right? I'm going to be out there. Let me double check. Saturday is the 18th. I'm sorry. My dates are so mixed up, but Saturday is the 18th. I'm doing a lecture in Charleston, South Carolina this Saturday. I want all my South Carolina people to come through. You can go get tickets and information at TariqLive.com. TariqLive.com. That's where you can get your tickets. And don't forget, next week, there are going to be some screenings of Hidden Colors 4 in different cities. Also, there's going to be a screening of Hidden Colors 4 Saturday in Montreal, Canada. In Columbus, Ohio, this Saturday, there's going to be a screening of Hidden Colors 4. In Memphis, next week, which is the 22nd, that's why I had the 22nd on my mind. I'm going to actually be in Memphis at the Majestic Cinema. That's Wednesday, June 22nd. I'm going to be doing a Q&A after the screening of Hidden Colors 4 in Memphis. I want to see all of Memphis in the house. Where are my Milwaukee people? All my Milwaukee people, there's going to be a screening of Hidden Colors 4 next Thursday, June 23rd. Also, my Minneapolis people, there's going to be a screening in Minneapolis Thursday, June 23rd. Phoenix, Arizona, there's going to be another screening this Saturday, June 18th. Washington, D.C., there's going to be an encore screening at the Bethesda Row Theater of Hidden Colors 4, Thursday, June 23rd. All of this information, family, is at HiddenColorsFilm.com. I'm going to say it again, HiddenColorsFilm.com. I definitely want to see Memphis, Milwaukee, and Minneapolis in the house, the three M's, because a lot of y'all were hitting me up saying, we need the movie in Minneapolis, we need the movie in Milwaukee, we need the movie in Memphis. So it's coming. Y'all asses need to be in the spot. If y'all can go to them country-ass juke joints, eating barbecue sandwiches and doing the goddamn cha-cha, y'all can go see Hidden Colors 4. You dig? There's a lot of stuff going on, man. I'm going to chop up some game later on in the show. We're going to talk about something that I call the thought stare, because I wanted to get into some ism, but you know we gotta cover a lot of the social stuff that's going on. Let me see who's on the phone, because there's so many people are calling a player. Player, what's up? Who's calling?
Hello, this is Dwight from Miami.
Dwight from Miami. How you doing, Mr. Dwight?
I'm doing okay today.
Go ahead, Mr. Dwight. Come on, man. You got to speed it up.
Okay, I was going to see if you can do anything on the anti-moist movement for summer.
Okay, I might touch on that pretty soon. All right. Come on, man. Y'all got to kind of get to the point when you call up, fam. I don't have time for the slow drag shit today. Hold on. Let me see what this is. Come on. Man, my patience has been real thin lately. What's up? Who's calling? Hello?
Hello?
Hey.
Hi, Tariq. How are you?
I'm good. Who is this?
My name is Maya from L.A. I had a quick question.
Go ahead, Maya. Now, let me ask you, Maya, what part of L.A. you in, dear?
West L.A.
There you go. So what's on your mind?
I have a question. So I'm 23. I was dating this guy for 4 years. He's 25. He told me he needed space. So I'm just wondering, like, what does that mean?
That means the space between the new chick he's fucking. All right? That's what that means. That's the space he needs. He needs that space. Some new pussy. Okay? That's all it means.
You think so? Well, he says because he doesn't have his stuff together. He doesn't live on his own and stuff like that. So he felt like
And niggas like that are prime suspects for bouncing from chick to chick because that's how they feel power. They don't have their shit together. But what they do control, because they can't control their living situation, in their mind, they feel like they don't have control of their work situation. They don't have control of their finances, but they got control of that dick. And they're going to slang that dick all around town. So that's what that is. How long were you dating, dude?
Almost 5 years.
Oh, that's a long ass time. And you started dating him when y'all were teenagers, right?
I was 18, he was 21,
yeah. Yeah, okay, and you're 23, he's 25?
Mm-hmm.
Well, that means, okay, if y'all been dating 5 years, that means he should be 26, right?
He'll be 26 in a few months.
Oh, okay, mm-hmm. Okay. So, and also, the dude, he hasn't gotten out of his player stage yet, you know?
I know. Yeah. And I told him, I'm like, you need to fuck a few bitches, knock a few, you know, get a few bodies down, and then we'll see.
Yeah, that's what it is. You know, you're trying to... You know, wipe the nigga up too soon. You know, he ain't going through that stage yet. You dig?
What happened was in the beginning of the relationship, like he was all into me, and then I don't know what happened, and it flipped, you know? And then I was like, he wasn't doing the shit he was supposed to do, you know? Little shit. Like, it just, the dynamics changed, and I realized that he just kind of became really nasty and disrespectful.
Oh, yeah. When dudes get like that, that's when they're trying to get you to break up with them so they don't feel guilty mm-hmm. for fucking all that side pussy. So, you know, if he's all angry and disrespectful, hopefully he'll have you throw in the towel so the guilt won't be on him. You understand?
Yeah, and I did. I broke up with him, and then he's like, well, I just want space, you know,
Yeah.
Bunch of bullshit.
But you know, how soon was this? When did this all happen? How soon did this happen?
This happened in February.
Oh, okay, so you got a few months out the game, so it's still kind of fucking with you a little bit.
Kinda, because I'm, you know, I just feel like I put a lot of energy and time into it and, like, you know, change myself. And he also, you know, just put time and energy into things. And I don't like to see things end, especially if I feel like it can be fixed, you know?
Oh, I feel that. But no, what you should do in that situation, instead of trying to fix some broken bullshit, you learn from that, take the game from that, take the experience from that, take the pain from that. And now you got a notch on your belt called wisdom. And when you step to the next dude or the next dude steps to you, you know what signs to look for that you can avoid. And you know what signs to look for that you can gravitate towards. You see? So this is a learning experience. We got to stop all that backtracking. See, and sometimes when we date people, they're there for learning experiences. You're supposed to learn some shit from the ass and then charge that shit to the game. When you're supposed to be going in and out of the same fucking relationship with the same douchebag who ain't on the same page with us no more. Sometimes we learn shit. And you find the lesson in dating that nigga. You dig? Now, hold on, I ain't done. What you look like? I'm hooking you up.
You're so stupid.
We're going to get you.
I was actually at the Hidden Colors in L.A. and I saw you.
Okay. It was a lot of cute goddamn women there. So,
you are so funny. I actually really loved it. I'm going to buy it. It's on DVD, right?
Yes, it is. Yes, yeah. Yeah, you can go get it at the Amoeba Bookstore in Hollywood. You can get it in Long Beach. Or you can just get it online. All right.
Yeah, I loved it. It was a good job. Thank you for your advice, Trigger.
Thank you,
dude. I really appreciate it.
Thank you so much. All right. That's our sister right there going through some dude problems. Somebody said she sounds plus size like Keke Palmer. No, the LA girls be kind of fine, though, bro. The LA girls are fine. You know? And again, I hope she learned some game from that. I hope she got some game from that. Speaking of game, have y'all been looking at that OJ Made in America show? It's so much. It's a good documentary because they have a lot of stock footage of Los Angeles. So I like all the archive footage of the tension that's been happening in Los Angeles for years. But when they get into OJ's story, see, the overall narrative or the underlying narrative is the film is trying to sway black folks into no longer looking at OJ as some kind of symbol. It's trying to draw a wedge between black folks and OJ. That's the underlying theme. They're all talking about how OJ didn't care about black issues. And I'm looking like, okay, look, you white supremacists, like, y'all really care about who gives a shit about black issues in black society. Because again, what they, I think, and I'm going to say this, and I hope this doesn't happen, but I think they're going to kill OJ in prison. I do not think they're going to let OJ walk out alive. That's why they're setting it up now, because OJ is like, that's like the Holocaust to the white supremacists. That's like that, never forget. We let this one get away. Because I've said it a million times, I do not think OJ committed those murders. I think this was another plot of white supremacy. They tried to plant evidence on OJ. Those cops had a vendetta against OJ Simpson because he, quote unquote, got away with beating that white woman. And they're like, okay, we're going to get this nigga. So when that murder popped off, they didn't look at anybody else but him. And they said, okay, we're going to make sure we got what we need. And they went over there and start dropping little shit here and there. And I believe that's what happened. I don't believe OJ killed that white woman or Ron Goldman. I don't believe it, because I studied the case and I looked too much into the backgrounds of all the people involved. And Ron and Nicole, they were hanging around nothing but criminals. Almost all the people they were around were some type of criminal. And nobody ever talks about that. Also, nobody ever gives a logical motive as to why OJ supposed to have killed this woman. They keep talking about, well, he beat her. Oh, he beat her. He beat her. Well, yeah, which was fucked up, but that's when they were married. What's the correlation between them breaking up and him waking up in that summer of 1994, waking up that day after they broken up and said, I'm killing her today? Nobody has ever logically bridged that gap. And that's the problem. They keep coming up with it. Well, he was so jealous because he wanted her. But according to evidence and the letters and the documents I've seen, she was begging to get back with him. So that destroys all of that motive. See, if you really look at the case and stop letting the media tell you what the fuck is going on with it, you will see there's too many holes in this case that will put it on OJ. And a lot of them will go to the whole thing where he's yelling at her about the people she's with, because, you know, OJ saw her. She was at the house sucking people's dicks with the kids upstairs and doing drugs and all that. And OJ was yelling, and rightfully so. I'm not saying he should have whooped her ass, but if you really look at all this stuff, OJ was trying to warn this woman about the people she was with. That dude she was sucking his dick, he was the manager of the Mezzaluna restaurant, and the Mezzaluna restaurant, it was the dope spot at the time. So OJ, what it looks like, he was trying to warn her about bringing them fucking people up in the house and around his kids, because he knew something was popping off with him. And that's what I think happened. But, you know, in the system of white supremacy, it's always the nigga did it. No matter what, we're going to overlook all the logical evidence. We're going to just say the nigga did it. We're going to ignore this white supremacist and these white supremacist cops who are still racist to the bone. If you look at the documentary special, they had Mark Furman and some of those other cops. It's 20-something years later, and these motherfuckers are still as racist. They can't even hide their racism for 5 minutes. You had some of those ex-LAPD cops talking the most racist shit they can talk on this show right now. They had Mark Furman on there talking about Rodney King, and they were showing the Rodney King video of Rodney King getting beaten. They put the camera on Mark Furman. Mark Furman literally said, this is 2016, Mark Furman. He's, you know, everybody knows him as a white supremacist racist. At this point, he would try to tone it down. He can't. They were showing the Rodney King beating, and he was like, Mark Furman's like, you know, if we were allowed to do the chokehold, we could have stopped that in seconds. I'm like, did this motherfucker just say they could have stopped Rodney King if they were allowed to do that illegal chokehold that they kept getting sued over out here in LA? Basically, like, if we would have killed that nigga, Yeah, we would have just killed him like we do all the other niggas. Hell, we wouldn't have had the problem. I mean, my God. I mean, they can't stop being racist no matter what, which is good. I like my racism on a platter. I like my racism on a platter. Let me see who's else on the phone. I got so much shit to talk about today. What's up? Who's calling?
Hey, Mr. Tariq. How you doing? This is Quincy from New York City.
Quincy from New York. How you doing, fam?
Well, I'm fine, man. I'm a big fan of yours, man. I appreciate your work, and it's been helpful to me and my family, man.
Yeah, I appreciate that, bro. I appreciate that. What's on your mind?
I have one question for you, though.
Yes.
What do you say for a victim of white supremacy who says that white supremacy does not exist?
That's a nigga who's trying to get a comfortable position in the prison. As Neely Fuller would say, we're all in a prison system, and we understand who to go to for the prison goodies. So you have coons and bedwinches who will do the bidding of white supremacy, and one thing they do, because we know what white supremacists like and don't like. One thing that the white supremacists like is denial. Denial of white supremacy. They love denying it. That's become a culture within itself, the denial of white supremacy. No matter how much evidence that's there, they're going to still deny it. And case in point, the OJ trial. All the evidence on Mark. I had a guy debating me on Twitter about Mark Furman. This dude was like, well, Mark Furman wasn't really a white supremacist. I'm like, okay, thank you. Thank you, dude. I went on and blocked him. Now, if you denying this motherfucker being a white supremacist with all the evidence, years and years and years of this guy saying racial stuff, doing racial stuff, getting charged with a felony for perjury, for lying about being a racist. No, that's the person who's just going to be in denial. So black folks say, okay, well, since white mommy and daddy like being in denial, I'm going to be in denial too, so white mommy and daddy can give me some goodies in a comfortable blanket up here in the prison. So that's what that is. So we got to understand, we got to stop being around these comfortable prison niggas and be around people who are trying to get up out the prison and get rid of the prison system. You feel me?
Yeah, I understand. Because the minute he said that, I said, dude, I'm not even going to argue with you. Let's just leave it like this.
Yes, indeed. Right, but thank you for the call, brother. Yeah, that it is what it is. You know, we got coons and bedwinches out here that's so willing to do the work of white supremacy, it's ridiculous. Speaking of bedwinch, there's a, you know, on my Ustream show, I read a confession letter from this bedwinch who was married to a racist white male. She admitted that her husband was a racist, and she was talking about the difficulties of her trying to work out their relationship instead of her getting the fuck out of the relationship. She's trying to work out her husband's racism. She's married to a white supremacist. He's saying all types of slick little shit. And instead of saying, hey, maybe I shouldn't be with somebody who really don't like black folks. Maybe I shouldn't be a slave plantation mammy. Let me just bounce. Nah. The slave plantation mammy is comfortable. See, these bedwinches are getting more vicious and vicious. There's a story, and I want y'all to look this up. There's a story coming out of Fort Lauderdale. And I'm going to talk about Florida in a minute, too. There's a lot of stuff happening in Florida I want to touch on. But in Fort Lauderdale, there's a cop. And his name is Jason Holding. And he was one of the four cops that was fired. They had a racist text message scandal. They were, you know, sending these text messages back and forth to each other. They're a bunch of race soldiers pretending to be cops, talking crazy about black people. They even did a video where they were mock lynching black people. They made a real racist video about black people. So they got fired. One of the cops, he's in court. I think he's trying to get his job back or whatever he's trying to do. So to prove that he's not a racist, they put his black girlfriend on the stand. And this Negro bedwench, her name is Perpetua Mitchell. And I want y'all to look this up. Her name is Perpetua Mitchell. And it almost looked like they went and found some random bedwench and said that that was his girlfriend. Because I looked this chick up. I done went to all her social media pages. And she ain't with no, you know, she's not with anybody. She's all solo on all of her pages. So I'm like, where'd they find this chick? Is she really dating this dude, or she's just a random bedwench on call? because that's what it looks like. It looks like they have a whole cadre of black females to be their bedwinches when they need them. And they have coons, coon-ass brothers, when they need them. And I'm using brother very lightly. And they call them specifically for cases like this. Because I'm looking at this chick's page and something ain't adding up. But again, maybe she, you know, did mess with the dude. I don't know. Either way, she's a goddamn bedwench. And they got her on the stand. And this dude had made all types of comments about black folks. And this is what she said. She said, there are people that make mistakes. There are people who say things they didn't mean, said Perpetua Mitchell, who said she's known Holding for about 4 years. They became an item a year ago. She said, well, he's a cop and he shouldn't have said that word correct. She added, she doesn't believe that the police officer using the N-word was in a hateful way. How else do you call black folks niggas? If you're a suspected white supremacist, what other way can you do it that's not hateful? I want to know what other way you can call somebody a nigga if you're a white supremacist suspect and not hate and it's not hateful. And this is what the cop said, Holding. He said he testified. He was like, he said, well, the story says Holding's voice choked and his parents cried in the hearing room as he apologized for the texts that were laced with bigoted comments. He says, I'm not a racist. I've never been a fascist. I've never been a racist, Holding said. Holding said he became numb to the use of racial slurs because he heard them constantly from the black community, black officers and white officers. Get the fuck out of here. It's that black folks made me do it bullshit. Get the fuck out of here with that. That's that whole Don Imus thing they did with Don Imus when he started calling black women nappy-headed hoes and all that. They turned around and blamed black. Well, it's the rappers. The rappers made Don Imus do that. See, black folks, we try to get justice, we try to get everything, and we get ignored. But all of a sudden, we are so influential when they want to be racist. All of a sudden, we're the most influential people on the damn planet when they want to do some dumb shit or be racist. All of a sudden, they made me, the black people, they made me, it was them. Now they gonna do what we say. That's that Bill Clinton pulled that bullshit too. Y'all know when Bill Clinton did that speech where he broke down and told what he really felt about black folks a few months ago, he was like, yeah, when I had the crime bill, there were black leaders who co-signed it. It was black leaders who wanted it. So now he's going to blame them. See, they got their Negroes that they vet and prop up and then blame them. Bullshit. Like Don Imus is old ass is listening to some rap. Oh, Don Imus been saying nigga and all types of shit way before a rap record was ever conceived. Let's stop that. So we got to understand the game, man. That's why you got to know your history. You got to know the game. You got to know how to spit. You got to know your history. You know, there's a new slave movie coming out. Free Town of, what's that? Free State of Jones. That's the name of the movie. The Free State of Jones. And I tweeted about it because I seen the commercial on one of those TV shows. And I said, oh, and I tweeted this. I said, oh, no, here we go with another slave movie. And then the writer, because the Free State of Jones is based on a book. And it was the author of the book. It was an older white lady popped up on my timeline a few days later. She was like, well, you know, the Free State of Jones is not about no slavery. You know, it had a very aggressive aura about her tweet to me. She was like, eh, it's not about slavery. It's about people fighting a rich man's war, people opposing a rich man's war, and all that old bullshit. And I tweeted her back. Me and her were going back and forth a little bit because, you know, she was pumping out her chest because she wrote this book. But I'm like, lady, because I know a little bit about the story. The Free State of Jones is about this white guy. You know, he was opposed to slavery, but his family, some of his family members were slave owners. And he had a rebellion because down in the South, they made him fight for the Confederacy, but then the Confederacy, they fucked up his home, they fucked up his farm. So he was really mad at that. So he created a rebel group to fight against the Confederacy and all that. So if you look at the commercial, it almost has a white savior look to it, because there's a lot of black people who are enslaved, and there's Matthew McConaughey, he's the white man running around with all these black folks. So it looks like another white savior movie. And I pointed that out. I said, well, look, this man's family had slaves, and he's like, well, his mother and father didn't. She's trying to be slick. See, the white supremacists are real slick about using certain words. Well, his mother and father didn't own slaves. I said, well, his granddad did. His granddad was one of the biggest slave owners down there. So the point is, you got to know your stuff when you're dealing with the white supremacists, because they try to be real slick with the words. They're very slick and manipulative with the words. They'll throw out a half truth, hoping you don't know the other half. That's how you got to be thorough with them. But you got to be on top of your game. Let me get another call. So many folks are calling. Hold on 1 second, because I want to get into some of this ism. Okay, here we got somebody with a raggedy ass phone. What's up? Who's calling?
What's going on, man? This is Big Chetty from the home of the greatest, Louisville, Kentucky.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Out there with my man Ali, the spirit of Ali, brother. What's on your mind, fam?
Hey, man, first of all, I wanted to say shout out to you for another successful rollout of the latest Hidden Color installment.
Yes, sir.
And the second thing I wanted to touch on, man, was, did you peep game on the difference in media framing between the Harambe gorilla story and the little kid who got snatched by the gator at Walt Disney?
Yeah.
Like, you know what I'm saying? With Harambe, they shot the gorilla, and, you know, people damn near more mad that the gorilla got shot than you know, caring about the child's safety. But yeah, with the little kid who got snatched down in Florida by the gator, they killed four gators looking for that child's remains before they found the body.
Yeah.
And nobody said shit.
Absolutely. I'm about to touch on that right now, but thanks for the call, man. And my man makes a good point. For those who don't know, down in Orlando, Florida, there was a little child, a white kid, a little two-year-old kid. It's very unfortunate. I don't like to see anything like that happen at all. But the little boy, they were down there at Disney World, and an alligator snatched this kid. They were in a pond, him and the family, and a gator came and snatched the little boy down and, you know, killed him. They just found his body not too long ago, today. But the media footage, you see the difference? When that gorilla got killed, and then they found out that the parents and the child was black, all of the organizations came out for the gorilla. Why did you kill that gorilla? Why did you kill the gorilla? Oh, they went in on the parents. Because I tweeted today about, I said on Twitter, because a lot of the white supremacists are mad at me today, as they always are. I said, I wonder if the media is going to find out if the dad of the child who got killed by the gator, does he have a criminal record? Then they all hit me up. Oh, that's just, what does that have to do with anything? Oh, what does that have to do with anything, Tariq? What the hell does that have to do with the price of tea in China? What does that have to do with it? Wait a minute. It had something to do with the damn kid who was in the gorilla cage and his family. It had something to do with that. Because they did stories on that, the boy's dad's criminal record. So obviously the shit had something to do with that. Don't start huffing and puffing now. I want to know if the damn dad of the alligator kid has a criminal record, since that makes a difference somehow. How come the white kid's dad ain't called ghetto trash thug? They called the black family of the little boy who fell in the gorilla cage, they called them, that family, every name under the sun. They tried to file charges on the mom. They were looking to file charges on that lady. The dad wasn't even there at the zoo, but they were going all in his criminal record. They called them ghetto, trash, nigger, scum, monkeys. They called them everything under the sun. and you see how the universe works now. You see, let me get a little deep and metaphysical. Because I touched on this on my Ustream show this past Sunday about stuff, the energy that's down there in Orlando, Florida. Now, this was before the little boy got caught up with the alligator thing. I was just talking about Orlando and Central Florida and the energy that's out there in that area right now. Let me tell you something. Because energy is real. And the white supremacists, they've created such a negative aura over that area. And I think, is my conjecture, that energy came from the Trayvon Martin verdict. In over there in Orlando, which is Stanford, that's basically a suburb of Orlando. But in that area where they let Trayvon Martin, an innocent black child, walking home, minding his own business, they let this, the society there, you let a psychopath legally lynch that child who was innocent. The kid didn't do anything wrong. And y'all let a known psychopath who has a history now of being a fucking criminal, violent thug bastard, a racist asshole. Y'all sat up and let him get away with that. And all of y'all people out there, not just around the country, but particularly in Orlando, in Central Florida, all of you suspected white supremacists, y'all sat up and let it happen. Y'all had a hateful neglect. Y'all sat up and turned your back. You supported the prosecution. Y'all patted each other on the back to let that innocent kid get killed out there. I think all of the shit happening out there in Central Florida is karma. That's energy. Energy is real. And a lot of the shit that's out, this was before the little alligator story. I said this Sunday. This was before the alligator story. I said, look, man, there's a lot of shit going on in Central Florida. Because look over there, look over in, right, but not too far from Orlando, over in St. Petersburg, that dude, the white dude went up and shot that singer. Very unfortunate. Just shot her, then shot himself. That was so unfortunate. And then a week later, you had this big massacre out there with so many people getting shot out there in Orlando. And now at Disney World, which is the biggest moneymaker in Central Florida, a child got ate by an alligator. So that's killing the business out there. These murders and now alligators eating kids, that's killing the business out there. So the money out there is being fucked up. Nobody, who wants to go to Orlando now? You got terrorists out there shooting up people in Orlando, and now you can't go to Disney World because now, you know the press for this? You know how this is going to take such a financial hit on Disney World? Who wants to take their kids to Disney World right now? Think about all that shit. All of that is happening back to back, all in this one area. I'm saying it's the energy that was created over there. Something, because there's a lot of people, and you know, I'm not alone in this. Some people were saying online that Orlando is cursed. They call it the Orlando curse. I'm thinking that it's karma. All the negative shit that's floating over that area right now, that's a lot of karma coming through, man. You don't sit up and let no innocent kid get killed like that in cold blood, and then you think you're just going to walk away all innocent, and that shit ain't going to come back and sweep that whole area? Orlando is shit right now. Their tourism industry is going to take a major hit, and that's going to have a ripple effect on a lot of the economy out there. If we're going to be real. And look at the energy again. The karma. Look at that karma. Y'all were just clowning a little boy who almost got killed by falling mistakenly in a cage in the zoo with the gorilla. And y'all were clowning that. I'm talking to the white supremacists. Y'all were sitting up clowning the kid and talking about how come the gorilla got killed and talking shit about the kid's family and all. See, and now that karma, then it happens to you. See, this karma's coming fast now. A lot of the karma's coming fast now. Is the energy is changing. The coons, people are gathering their coons and their bedwinches. Your coons and bedwinches can't save a lot of people from the karma that's happening out here. And I don't wish bad on nobody. That's unfortunate with what happened in all of those cases. That's very unfortunate. But y'all got to be careful about who you ridicule now, people. I'm talking to the white supremacists. Because when it happens to you and people start asking dumbass questions about people's criminal record, see, then y'all get butt hurt. So you can't do the same little shit and then get upset when people ask you the same dumb fucking questions. Because y'all didn't say nothing. I was checking some white supremacists online today. This one particular lady, I was talking about, well, how come the guy, the dad, his criminal record isn't being looked into? And this self-righteous, suspected white supremacist female, you know, that's so insensitive. You know, that's so, you're a moron for saying that. Are you playing the race card? I said, ma'am, I didn't say nothing about nobody's race. Well, you're implying that this is, ma'am, I don't know what you're talking about. I'm asking a question. Well, what does the criminal record of the father have to do with anything? I said, ma'am, in the case of the kid in Cleveland in the gorilla, it had something to do then. I said, ma'am, where is your outrage for that? The way you coming at me, were you coming at any, show me your tweets of you coming at anybody who was talking about that man's jail record. Show me the tweets of you yelling at him. And she came back to me like, well, I didn't say anything, but I thought it was so bad. I said, ma'am, y'all suspected white supremacists. Y'all can think whatever, but when it comes to something that is insensitive to you, you act on it. You made an effort to act on getting online and contacting me. You were very vocal. But when it comes to white racism, now you think about it. You think about how fucked up it is, but you don't do nothing. And y'all can see the exchange on my Twitter. I go in on these white supremacists all day. See, this thing where they make everything racial, and then when you throw it back on them, then we playing the race card. The white supremacists are desperate at this point. Get the fuck out of here. See, they do little shit to us, and then when we ask them the same dumbass questions and bring up the same dumbass talking points, oh, they go into victim mode. Oh, how dare you? How dare you ask about the parents? You're being insensitive. Well, you were being insensitive talking about that boy's parents in Ohio. What's good for the goose is good for the gander. You racist hypocrite. But I digress. Let me get another call before we get into some ism. What's up? Who's calling? Hey.
Oh, hey, sorry. How you doing?
Hey, sweetie. Who is this?
This is LaWanda calling from Seattle. How you been?
I'm good, LaWanda. How do you? You sound hella young. How do you?
Oh, God. We done had this conversation like a few times. Remember, I was on the phone with you and I had my son on the phone with you.
I kind of did. I don't remember seeing what you look like, though.
No, I don't think I ever. No, I never showed you a photo of me.
Oh, okay. So, yo, now how old is your son again?
He's 17.
God damn. Okay. You sound like a damn kid.
Yeah, he's 17.
What
remember
the?
I was telling you that his teacher was like, "Why are you acting so sophisticated?"
Okay. I think I kind of remember. You gotta kind of email me to refresh my memory.
Yeah, he emailed you before, but I was telling you that he's a writer.
Okay.
Stuff like that.
Okay. Now, let me ask you wait real quick. Now, how old are you?
Oh God, I'm 37.
Okay, so you had your son very young. Okay, but you sound hella young.
I had him when I was 19.
Okay, you were hella young. You were hella young. Do you still? You look young. Cause
yeah.
You still kind of.
Yeah, I still look young. I still get carded.
Oh, there you go. All right,
they think we siblings.
Damn. Okay, so what's on your mind, sweetie?
Yeah, I wanted to just tell you. I'm sorry, I'm being loud. I just wanted to tell you that once again, thank you for the Hidden Colors and everything like that. Did the DVD come out yet for Four?
Yeah, it did. You can get it at HiddenColorsFilm.com. Yeah, the DVD is okay. The number one DVD on Amazon. But email me. I got to get into some game. Email me, sister. Okay, she's taking forever with her young old ass. That's the thing about sisters. I see so many sisters who are old and you don't know they're old. That's the trick. A lot of these sisters, man, especially the ones who really take care of themselves, a lot of these sisters be looking hella damn young, and you never know how old they are until you see their kids. That's the thing. That shit is crazy. You never know how old some of these women are, man. You got to check these women, man. Watch them. Because sometimes you see women, they be hella young looking, and you're like, hey, sister, what's going on with you? And you chilling with them, and you talking with them, and then some dude walk in the room, you're like, oh, damn, I didn't know you knew Morgan Freeman. Oh, damn, Morgan Freeman, let me get your autograph. She's like, no, that's my son. I'm like, God damn. How old are you? With this old Morgan Freeman ass son you got. God damn. Somebody asking, I see some people talking about Kickstarter. We're going to send out the packages for Kickstarter next week. We're sending those out next week. That's why a lot of the people, I sent a link to see the film early to the Kickstarter people. So they got to see the film early, but I'm going to send the actual DVDs out to them next week. That's why I wanted to let everybody who donated on Kickstarter get to see the film early. You dig? Man. All right, but let's get into some game. So today I'm talking about, and I've been talking about everything today. It's a long show today, but I'm talking about the thought stare. I'm talking about something called the thought stare. Now, at a game, Steph Curry and those guys, they were playing a game. I think they were up there, the Golden State. They were playing somewhere. And the game was on live TV. And this became a meme kind of. While there was something happening in the game and the crowd stood up, and there was one particular female who stood up and the camera got her briefly, but they made a meme out of her picture. And, you know, the female, she has like an Instagram, and I forgot what her name is on Instagram. But the young, and y'all can see the picture. I got the picture up live, and you can see the picture at TariqLive.com. And by the way, you guys can subscribe to the show on iTunes. But you can see the picture on TariqLive.com. She's a basketball fan. She's like in one of the third or fourth rows. And everybody's standing up looking at the players. And she gives, like, Steph Curry the most thottish look. She's drinking a soda out of a cup, and she's holding the cup real thottish. Everything about it is thottish as hell. And they call her the thirsty sports fan and the whole nine. But she stands up, and she gives this nigga the most thottish stare. And she's opening her mouth like she's about to suck a dick. I mean, it's a very deliberate thing. And I'm not mad at her. I'm not shitting on this sister. By saying she's a thot, I'm not shitting on her. But I'm just trying to give people some of the game, because that's one of them old school thot stares. She's a bona fide chick. Now, this chick is seasoned. When I saw this chick, I knew this is a seasoned, bona fide, hustling ass chick. And she gave him one of those vicious ass thought stares. And them thought stares are dangerous, because them thought stares they're almost hypnotic. When a seasoned thought, they know how to use mind control and telepathy on niggas. They know how to give a nigga a look and relay information through their stare. So it's kind of important, if you see a seasoned thought who's giving you a thought stare, you never look directly in the eyes of a seasoned thought who's giving you a thought stare, unless you got some game about you. Your game has to be on point. Because everything about her shit, it relayed all types of nonverbal messages. Now, there's some, because I posted this picture up on my Instagram of the thought stare girl. And there's some game goofy niggas on there playing dumb. Well, she looked like she was looking the other way. Man, you don't know she a thot. You don't know what she... I ain't talking about you game goofy niggas who don't know no better. Somebody said her name is Roni Rose. Is that her name? I don't know. But I'm not talking about... I'm not talking about game goofy niggas. I'm talking about some people who understand the game. People with a little game under their belt. People who know how to peep some ism. And this female is clearly seasoned. And when I looked her up, I looked up her Facebook and Twitter. Not her Facebook, but her. I looked up her Instagram. And I think she's a stripper. You know, there's pictures of her really popping that ass. I mean, she's popping, doing splits, popping that pussy. So I'm not shocked. I already knew she was in the game. And that's not a bad thing. I'm not saying that to disparage. I love a qualified, bona fide, money-making, hustling chick. There's nothing wrong with that. I love a bona fide, qualified, money-making chick. There's nothing wrong with that at all. So the thing is, a lot of guys who got simp bones in their body, that's something that you don't need to be messing with and trying to look in the eye. Because women like that, man, they are very thorough. They know how to manipulate dudes. They know how to pat a nigga's pockets. They know how to make niggas break bread. They will fuck up your home if you ain't got no game about yourself. And that thought stare is real vicious. I call that hard choosing. And when you see a female hard choosing like that, either you better be in the game or she's going to make you her victim. And these chicks will look at you and use telepathy, and they will make you thoughtmatize, nigga. Women like this female, with the look she was giving to this dude is like, man, after this game, I will suck the skin off your dick. Women, they relay nonverbal messages like that, doing shit with their mouth and their eyes. And women like that, they'll keep that stare going. You get with a woman like that and they know how to lock that stare in on a nigga. I'm telling you, that shit is hypnotic. They'll be going down on you, doming you off, and then looking up at you with that same stare. And a lot of niggas don't know how to handle that. You getting a thought stare, especially when you're getting domed off. When you're done, you'll be like, look, I'm going to knock that little rent out for you. I'm going to put a little something on your car note. Niggas, you just start voluntarily tricking. If you don't know how to handle that, that's why your game has to be on point. That's why your ism has to be on point. That's why your will you have to be strong-willed. Oh, yeah, somebody said her Instagram is off the hook. Nigga, her Instagram is off the hook. She's a fine chick, too. Real good-looking chick. The chick in the thought stare picture. But there's a lot of them out there. And understand this. Right now, the economy is rough. And you got some seasoned thoughts out here competing with a lot of these little renegades out here doing whatever, whatever. Out here getting the twos and fews. You got some renegades out here. And some of these seasoned thoughts, they're stepping up their thottishness. They're stepping up their thought game heavy. And they're catching tricks left and right. So they're going to this chick. That was a bold move for her to do, to get up there in the game. And somebody said, well, she was there with her boyfriend. A couple of people said that. Even some people on Instagram, they were like, well, she was already there with her boyfriend. That don't mean a goddamn thing. That don't mean shit. Come on, she's there with her boyfriend. This was a seasoned thought, the chick in the picture. And this chick got like courtside seats, so there's somebody in the front office that she's tricking off with. It's somebody in corporate. It's one of the suits she done spit some game at, and her ass got season tickets. You know how much playoff game season tickets courtside are? So she's spitting some ism, some game at one of the top brass up there at that spot. So I don't know who this boyfriend thing. They're talking about she got a boyfriend. Man, that seasoned thoughts, they know how to go around that I got a boyfriend. They know how to look at niggas a certain way with the dude they're with. That's why you got to learn how to read nonverbal cues. I've been with females, or not been with, but I've been out and I've seen females with dudes, and they gave me that look like, hey, the nigga with me don't really matter. If you catch me somewhere and by myself, slide a number or something, we can do something. You can read all that with a look. women are very nonverbal. That's why, guys, you got to understand how to pick up on cues. Women are very nonverbal. They're not going to tell you a whole bunch of shit. So you got to pick up on the ism they're spitting. And the ism comes from the eyes. They'll tell you everything you need to know from the eyes, but you got to be careful because you don't want to get thotmatized if you ain't got no game. Because, see, a simp nigga, you have one of these seasoned thoughts look at you and stare at you and give you that hypnotic thought glare. And then niggas go home telling his homies, man, I met somebody real special, dog. Ain't nobody ever looked at me the way she looked at me, my nigga. I think she the one. You start talking dumb as hell. Niggas start getting real simpish when they get a thought stare. Because, see, a lot of times women, a lot of women avoid eye contact with dudes. Most women try to be real coy when they deal with dudes. A lot of women like to be real coy. And I've been around a lot of women in the game. I know their tricks. I know their tactics. You can tell a seasoned chick, because a seasoned ass chick will look a motherfucker dead in the eye. And most men aren't used to women looking them dead in the eye. That's number one. So a lot of dudes are low-key intimidated by that. So when a woman is staring a motherfucker dead in the eye, that means she's taking control. And she starts putting that nigga in a childlike mode. A seasoned thought get done with your ass. You be in diapers breastfeeding off her ass. Giving up your lunch money. So you got to understand how the thought game works. The economy is slipping. Jobs are failing. So these thoughts out here trying to get it how they live. When I came back from New York yesterday at the airport, I was getting a Starbucks. You know, because sometimes after a flight, you get a Starbucks. And I'm getting a Starbucks over by baggage claim. And I saw this chick in line. This decent looking sister. She was kind of tall, slim, had a little bubble, had the sundress on. And I'm looking at her out of the peripherals. And I can tell she's clearly in the game. She had a sundress and there were two splits in the sundress on the side. And she had tattoos up her leg. She had the thought hands, you know, with the thought nails and the long thought weave. And she's in line, and every time she'd take a step in line, her ass would shake about 20 times. So I'm like, okay, yeah, she's one of those guys. You know those chicks, they can't, they barely move, but they ass just shaking all over. Everything they do, the ass is just shaking. Her ass is just a jiggling in that sundress. I'm like, oh, this chick is so in the game. So we're waiting on our Starbucks, and there's one dude in line, one white guy. And she starts spitting game. And I'm listening to her spit game at him. She's like, oh, excuse me, hi. She's like, you look like you're Italian. Where are you from? She's spitting at him. He's like, I am from such and such, boom, boom, boom. Then he starts, where are you from? You know, I'm from here. You know, I'm going up to Vegas and all that. You know, and she was spitting at his ass. And I'm like, get your goddamn money. She was thotmatizing this dude in the Starbucks line. And I saw her exchanging numbers. I'm like, she's about to get some money out of this motherfucker. I am not mad, pop my collar. And this dude, I think he about to miss his fucking flight following this chick around the airport. She had him follow her out somewhere. So I'm like, this nigga. she walked out the airport with ass jiggling with the dude. I mean, she caught this motherfucker at a Starbucks. I'm like, this is a bad hustling ass chick. I ain't mad at her. They're thotmatizing dudes everywhere they go. So these chicks are vicious with the mouthpiece, man. So fellas, you got to be on top of your game. Now, ladies, you got to be on top of your game. You're trying to compete out here. That's what you got to deal with. The game is heavy out here right now. And that thought stare, when women give you that thought stare, you better step it up and not fall for the okey-doke and have your little pockets padded and you end up paying some damn palimony checks and payments and shit. Yeah, when chicks, somebody in the chat room said, when somebody say a chick with a jiggly ass sundress and tattoos on her thighs say she's going to Vegas, well, it's not for a damn Comic-Con convention, okay? They about to go up there and get some money. They about to sell one of their holes. It's their mouth, ass, or pussy. One of them. I ain't saying good or bad, right or wrong. Just understand the game. Anyway, y'all, that's been today's episode of the Tariq Elite Radio Show. Don't forget, man, I'm going to be in Charleston, South Carolina this Saturday. Go to Tariq live.com to get tickets to join me in Charleston. I'm going to be in Memphis, Tennessee next Wednesday at the Majestic Theater. Go to hiddencolorsfilm.com. My Milwaukee people and my Minnesota people, Hidden Colors 4 will be in theaters out there next week. Go to hiddencolorsfilm.com to get tickets to check that out. I'm going to holla. Y'all have a good evening. I'll talk to y'all on Ustream this Sunday. Peace.